Bobby, good morning.
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're
good. Bobby, I know you're happy, and I can just imagine tonight with all the recruiting over, you can watch the Law & Order doubleheader.
No doubt. I've got several Law & Orders TiVo'd. Having a Law & Order marathon this week.
Bobby,
you got enough frequent flyer miles to take a free trip to Hawaii, don't you?
Yeah, I could go to New York and watch the real Law & Order.
Hey, Bobby, one of the things I talked about with Joe Fisher and some of the other recruiting guys is when they look especially at the way you guys recruit, and you know, you've got to sort of look at it maybe a little bit differently that, you know, that you're going to redshirt as many of these kids as you possibly can, that maybe not as many of these kids are immediate impact players. But in that vein, how do you feel like you did?
Well, we think we did really well. You know, we pretty much have our own methods of evaluating and projecting people into our system, and you know, we think these guys are going to be very, very productive players before their careers are over. And you know, we look back 3, 4, and 5 years ago, and we look at players like Chris Williams and Earl Bennett and Curtis Gatewood and Theo Horrocks and Marcus Bugs. You know, none of them were really flying up there real high on the radar, but along with you know, Jonathan Goff, they probably all have a chance to be in NFL camps next year.
Bobby, it's very easy to sit there and figure out who the top 200 guys are and maybe start contacting or calling them. But even you know that you have to work efficiently, especially if you're in a situation like Vanderbilt, and be realistic as to which guys you think you can get. Do you have a better sense now? Do you guys work smarter now that you've been there a while? And it seems to translate out on the field, you know, with the level of talent that you roll out now as opposed to maybe when you first got there in the first few years.
Yeah, I think it's much better now. But you're right. We sort of learned, you know, when to get in, when to get out. But, you know, we're not afraid to get in a battle if we feel like we have some things going in our favor, like, you know, a great education. You know, that helped us with John Goff, especially. You know, it helped us with John Cole this year, a great example. You know, a guy, it came down between two academic schools, us and Stanford. So, you know, you got to know each situation, and that's why it's very important that you study your recruits and you know what makes them tick and you know what the key things are that they're going to make their decision on.
And Bobby, in hearing some of your comments about John Cole, a young man out of Somerset, Kentucky, a receiver, you think he might be one who could come in and help you right away, especially with Earl Bennett having gone to the NFL?
Well, I think so, because John, you know, he's in an offense that threw in the ball a whole bunch. I mean, if you watch, I mean, he's got just about every Kentucky State's receiving record there is. And he just made play after play after play, and he's used to performing, is used to doing it, is used to catching the ball in crowds. So I don't think John's going to be awed by anything that he's going to see on the field. Plus, he's fast. You know, he's got some tools, too. He's not just like he's been in an offense that just produces people. He made things happen.
It looks like the emphasis was really on defense. You know, a lot of defensive backs, a lot of defensive linemen. Talk a little about that as you kind of try to restock in some of those positions.
Well, you do. You know, we lose John Goff and Marcus Bugs at linebacker, and you look at Curtis Gatewood leaving, Theo Horrocks. You know, you got Gabe Hall. You got to replace those guys. You don't expect these freshmen to step in and take their positions next year, but there are spots on the roster, and you try to plan where, you know, that's going to be an orderly thing each year where, you know, guys go out and guys replace them, but you never can predict it. You know, sometimes a guy leave prematurely, whether, you know, he might, you know, just get disgruntled, or he might get hurt and can't play anymore, you know, so you can't predict it all and have a system where everybody gets replaced every 4 years.
Would you have liked to maybe landed another offensive lineman or two?
Well, we think, you know, linemen are linemen in a lot of situations. We think some of those defensive linemen could play offensive linemen. So we were taking what we thought the best football players available in those situations, and we'll let it all sort out at the end. But if it had been an outstanding offensive lineman, we probably would have taken one less defensive lineman. So, yes and no.
You didn't recruit a quarterback. What does that say about your situation going into spring practice?
Well, I think we got a great situation. I think Chris Nixon is finally healthy. It's great to see him in the weight room and on the practice field working out and smiling and enjoying it. And you know, I think Mackenzie Adams loved his experience, so he's going to work hard to get back in there. I think Larry Smith's going to, you know, he's no longer a redshirt. He's no longer, you know, a guy waiting in the wings. You know, he's going to be competing for the job. So we're going to have some great competition at quarterback.
Do you have to rebuild Chris's psyche at all, or do you think just the fact that he's healthy, you know, will get him back to where we saw him 2 years ago?
I think the fact that he's healthy and he's able to use all of his talents now, and he was not able to do that after the second game or the third play of the second game, you know, it was just tremendously tough on him last year. And, you know, I expect him to bounce back and, you know, be the kind of guy that we saw 2 years ago making plays and running the team and doing, you know, what he's capable of doing. So that's going to push McKenzie. That's going to push Larry. You know, Jared Funk's going to have a chance to step in there and you know, probably has the best arm of any of them. So, you know, we like our situation at quarterback.
Where does Funk fit in? Because he came in amidst, you know, some high expectations. A lot of people really liked him.
Well, he's got a fantastic arm, and, you know, but he's not a klutz either. You know, he can run, and he's a good athlete. So, yeah, it's just a lot of competition. And he knew it coming in. You know, every football player in college now ought to know, you know, when he goes to college, that he's going to have to beat people out to play. And if he doesn't, he's not on a very good team.
Bobby, I don't know. I don't think we've talked to you since Earl Bennett made his decision to go pro. I know you hate to see him go, but that has to give you a lot of pride to see how well that young man played in your system and now will take his chances in the NFL draft.
Sure it did. You know, it's going to be tough to replace 220-something receptions, you know, from Earl Bennett alone. So that's tough to deal with. But, you know, you see Earl is such a quality person, and I think he – you know, did a good job of going through the decision-making process, and I just really hope he's ultra-successful in the NFL.
Bobby, your schedule came out, too. Obviously, going to be kind of tough on the back end of the season. You have to go on the road, you know, to play some tough games in November. But also, too, on the front end, your opener at Miami of Ohio, you know that the road is littered with a lot of teams from power conferences that lose to MAC teams early in the season.
Sure. Early in the season, late in the season, in the middle of the season. They have good football up there, there's no doubt about it. And but I think that's a good thing. We'll be challenged, and that'll get our attention right off the bat, and hopefully we'll be preparing as well as we can possibly prepare in the preseason and go up there and play well. You know, and that'll be – I think a motivating factor.
It's kind of an opposite schedule from a couple years ago where you played 12 and 12 weeks. You know, you actually get a couple breathers in this one anyway.
That's great. Brian Reese did a great job of sort of manipulating our schedule and, you know, saw some openings and got some people changed up. And now we actually have three mini seasons of four games apiece. And we play four, have an off week, play another four, have an off week, and then finish up with four straight. So, hopefully we'll be able to manage our injury situations a little better, and also our rest periods a little better, and maybe we can stay fresher.
Bobby, you know we've talked about this before, but you know, it's even ratcheted up more with Bobby Petrino coming into the mix and Houston Nutt moving over to Mississippi. You look at the roster of coaching talent in this league, present company included. Yeah, and I got to believe, you know, you look around it, I think there are five coaches who have won national championships, plus you got Tommy Tuberville, who conceivably could have won one had he not gotten aced out by the BCS. That's pretty remarkable to have that much coaching talent in one conference.
Well, it is, and certainly a huge challenge. But that's the great thing about the conference. You know, you're going to compete every week against the very best, and if that doesn't excite you, and if that doesn't want to make you play in this conference, something wrong with you. It's a lot of fun. So, huge challenge, of course. But we're going to face that every year. No matter what, no matter who's coaching those teams, those teams in the SEC East that we play are going to be among the tops in the country every year.
Hey, Bobby, thanks a lot for the time. Congratulations on your recruiting class. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Enjoyed it.
Thanks,
All right.
Bobby.
All right.